Recently, personal finance writer and journalist Charlotte Kells shared how she was scammed out of $50,000. This article went completely viral, and honestly, the response was pretty swift and pretty nasty. It was very, "Are you sure you weren't wearing a short skirt to the bar?" coded, aka it was incredibly victim-blaming, the way that so many people were talking about this and resharing this, and the comments were just nasty. As a financial therapist, to make sure that we address shame, I wanted to take the time to talk about financial scams, kind of jumping off of what Charlotte shared, but also naming that blaming people, blaming victims for being scammed is not the right way to go about dissuading people from financial scams. Blaming people for being victims of financial scams further piles on this feeling of embarrassment or shame or guilt, and it makes people who have been victims of these things feel even worse about it and pushes it further underground. If you're new here, my name is Lindsay Brian Podvin. I'm a certified financial therapist, licensed social worker, author of the book, The Financial Anxiety Solution, and founder of the financial wellness business, Mind Money Balance. At Mind Money Balance, I help people understand the intersection of money and mental health, aka financial wellness. Let's just start with naming that none of us are immune to financial scams. The second we start thinking we're smarter than it, or wittier, or are too savvy to fall for a scam is the second that you have officially let your guard down and you are more likely to be scammed. This is also a crime. When somebody has their car broken into, or their house is vandalized, or their apartment is burgled, there are, of course, always going to be those a-holes who say things like, "Well, was it locked? Did you have your alarm on? Blah, blah, blah." But again, we're not getting into victim blaming here. Instead, most people say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. That must have been so scary. You must have felt so violated." And similarly, when it comes to money scams, we should be thinking about it this way. Rather than saying, "It's your fault you fell for it," we should be saying things like, "Thank you for speaking up. I'm so sorry that happened to you. How can I help to keep you safe?" And money scams are not things that are only happening to folks who are getting AARP mailers in their home, okay? 22% of people who report being victims of scams are on the younger side. So folks older than 65, 13% of them have said that they are victims of financial scams, but 22% of them are on the younger end, and these are rampant. According to Gallup, in 2023, scams were the most common types of crimes being committed in the United States, with up to 15% of adult Americans saying that scams had happened in their household. My hypothesis is this is probably low, as we can see by how Charlotte was treated for coming out and sharing what happened to her. We don't treat people who were scammed very kindly. So my guess is that there are far more people being victimized by these scams, and they're not coming out and saying it because we berate them when they say what happened to them. There's also been a lot of chatter on red flags so you cannot become a victim. And while I think that's like sort of helpful, I also think it's helpful to just recognize that the way that these scams are so successful is because what they do is dysregulate their target's nervous system to push them into a state of fight, flight, freeze, or submit. And it makes it really hard to make wise decisions. When we receive stress, we tend to move into one side of our nervous system or the other. One side is a super activated side of our nervous system where we're feeling hyperactive, on edge, overwhelmed. Maybe we have a really short fuse and we're feeling irritable or ragey. This is that fight, flight, or freeze state that so many people talk about. On the other end of the spectrum is more of a fawn or submit response. This is where you are so overwhelmed by the amount of stress coming your way that you feel tired, exhausted, numb, disoriented. You're zoning out a lot, and you're often outsourcing your self-trust to somebody else. This is on the understimulated side of our nervous system. The place that we need to be in our bodies to make wise, grounded choices is in the middle, not at that fight, flight, freeze, not at that submit or fawn state, but right in the middle where we are able to ride the ups and downs of life, cope with stress, and also experience curiosity, joy, and presence. When scammers call, text, or email you, what they are trying to do is get you onto one of those ends because they know that you are less likely to be able to make wise choices. So instead of just focusing on what is the latest red flag, I want to talk about how we can tend to ourselves so we can get ourselves out of that fight, flight, freeze, or submit stance and into a place where we feel like we are able to regulate our nervous system, we are able to cope with stress, and we're also able to problem solve in a rational and grounded state of mind. First, type in whatever the thing was that happened to you plus the word scam into a search browser. These scams and scam artists are constantly shape-shifting. You might be savvy enough to know that if you get an email in your inbox that says, hey, there is a foreign national prince or princess who just needs your help, and if you can get them to the United States, we will give you a large sum of money. You might know about that one, but you might not know about the scam going around where you're getting a text from something that looks like a reputable ground transportation company saying, hey, in order for us to deliver your package after hours, we just need you to send us $50. You also might not be aware of the Venmo or Cash App scam that looks like a stranger accidentally sending you money and then them asking you to send it back. So when you type in whatever it was that happened that felt a little weird or fishy, or you're just a little bit uncertain, type that thing plus the word scam into an internet browser to see what is being generated around that scam in this moment. Like I said, these scams are changing all the time, so you might know of some of them, but I guarantee you don't know all of them. The second thing you can do is to actually double check some of the things that the person on the other end of the phone is telling you. And when I say the other end of the phone, I could also mean not only somebody who's calling you, but also somebody who might be texting you or somebody who might be emailing you. When we are dealing with these scammers, they're often saying things like, hey, you didn't realize this, but somebody has compromised your identity, or you don't know this yet, but somebody has been taking out loans in your name. And of course, when somebody says, hey, you're not aware of this yet, but we figured it out, you want to double check that the thing that this person is saying has happened to you, unbeknownst to you, actually happened, which is a very confusing sentence. But let's say somebody says, hey, somebody has stolen your identity and they've opened up 3 credit cards in your name and made fraudulent purchases. Before you give that person on the phone, again, or text or email, any information about your credit card or about your bank statement, actually check. Check your credit report to see if there have been any new accounts that have been opened in your name. Double check your checking account to see whether there have been withdrawals that have happened without your consent. Look for some of those red flags first. If when you look at your credit report and your bank statements and your credit card statements and you're not seeing anything fishy, then you can just kind of push away that noise from the other person who's telling you that this particular thing has happened. Another thing to do is to call the company or the organization who is reaching out to you to confirm whether or not they are seeking your information. In Charlotte's story, she shared that the first person who called claimed to be from Amazon. Almost all of us have an Amazon account, so it's not really unlikely that somebody would call and say, hey, did you purchase this thing from Amazon? Again, before we start giving information to that person, check the account. Go into your Amazon account, see whether or not things look fishy or whether or not there have been purchases or charges that you didn't authorize. Other common scams are people calling you claiming to be from things like the IRS or the Office of Social Security. You can call the Office of Social Security and the IRS directly. Call them. These scammers can figure out who you have a bank account with, who you have credit cards with, who you have loans with. So they also might use very specific local credit unions or bank accounts when they are calling you to have you verify your information. Do not give them any information. Again, at this point, we don't really know they're a scam, but hang up. Call your local credit union and say, hey, I just received a call from somebody claiming that my credit union account was hacked. Can you please confirm or deny that that has actually happened? Most of the time, they're going to say, oh my gosh, we are so sorry. We've been getting reports of these phishing accounts or these scam accounts. Let me double check your account. They double check it and they tell you, don't worry, nothing has been compromised. And they also will say things like, please know that the credit union will never call you directly unless we have already told you we're going to call you directly, which sounds a little bit strange, but let's say you go into your credit union and you're depositing a larger check or you're withdrawing a larger sum of money. Most of the time, the teller will say something like, you can expect a call within 24 to 48 hours from our branch manager. This is their name. This is their number. They're going to confirm that this is actually a deposit or a withdrawal that you want to make. So you already have that person's information. And if somebody different is calling you claiming to be that person, you may hang up. You may also go back into that credit union and say, hey, I got a weird call. I know you said so-and-so was going to call me. A different person called me. Do you have any employees by that name? Like, what's going on? And when I say credit union as an example, this could also be a bank or a credit card or anything like that. Next up, call the non-emergency police line. I know that calling the police for many populations and many different groups of people can be anxiety provoking or can re-traumatize a person. So do know that there are two phone numbers you can call when it comes to your local police. One is 911, which we know, which is for reporting an emergency. But every single police station has a non-emergency line that you can call. All you have to do is Google your town plus non-emergency phone number, and it will generate the number for you that you can call and say to them, hey, I got this funny call from somebody claiming to be at your department, or I got a call from somebody claiming to be from a ground service, asking me for money, asking me for my social security number, asking me for my bank account information. Do you know if there have been scams like this going around? Most of the time, the local police are savvy to the different scams that are going around, or they receive an uptick in certain types of calls, so they can validate for you whether or not the type of call or text or email you've received might be a scam. Finally, say it out loud. This is where it can be so hard, because saying out loud to someone, hey, somebody from the CIA called me, might feel really strange. But saying it out loud, what happened to you, be it a friend, a trusted neighbor, a partner, or a family member, it does two things. One, when we say it out loud, we are able to hear the words that we are using and process in real time the likelihood that a scenario like that is true or is fraudulent. The other thing that this does is it gets somebody else who is not dysregulated, whose emotions are not overwhelmed, to say to you, hey, that actually sounds a little bit fishy, or my neighbor had something like this happen to them. It turned out to be a scam, or actually at work, we just learned about this. This is a new type of phishing attack. And it can help you to get out of your head, get out of the fear, get out of that fight, flight, freeze, submit state, and also tell somebody else what's going on. If this episode has you thinking about your relationship with money and you've got a question you want me to answer, visit mindmoneybalance.com/ask. You can ask me almost anything about talking to others about money, how to advocate for yourself so you can practice financial self-care, or how mental health impacts what you do financially. Again, that's mindmoneybalance.com/ask. Back to the show. So those are some tips that you can take to help you get back into your body, get back into a safe state of mind before you're responding to any incoming calls, texts, or emails that feel a little bit off. Now, if you or a loved one has been a victim of a scam, please know that you are not alone. In the last like 5-ish years, I have seen a huge uptick of clients and anecdotal reports of people saying that they have fallen for these scams. Even like 5 to 7 years ago, the support and resources available for people who fell victim to scams were not great. They were mostly relegated to senior citizens, and they were more about preventing it from happening again than actually providing that person with emotional and psychological support. Nowadays, you can find in-person and online support groups if you've been a victim of a scam. You can also find in-person and online support groups if you are the partner of a person who fell for a scam, or an adult child of a parent who fell for a scam. We can also get support too. Therapists are also great resources. And if you live in a rural area or you're experiencing a tremendous amount of localized shame around this, seek out an online support forum to be in community with other people who've experienced similar things and can help you to understand that you are not faulty, you are not broken, you are not dumb, you are human. These scammers excel at what they do, and they are constantly figuring out new ways to trick us and manipulate us. And you are not alone. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode on how to cope with the stress that comes when you receive a fishy call, text, or email. Your support of this podcast means the absolute world. If you love listening, I would love if you could help me out by quickly rating and reviewing this podcast on the podcast player you're using right now. This quick but meaningful action helps to support the show, and it helps others find it too. I absolutely love connecting with my listeners. So if something resonated from today's episode, take a screenshot of the episode, share it out on your stories, and be sure to tag me on Instagram at mindmoneybalance. This podcast simply wouldn't be possible without the help of others. Thank you to RJ Basillo for masterfully editing this podcast, to Liberty Sales, who creatively and brilliantly helps market the show to help those who need it find it by leveraging her public health communication skills. And thank you to Leslie Tagorda and Jeffrey Campanero of Star Powered, who've infused their creative genius into the cover and episode art with the unique magic of the Astro Brand astrology-based branding process. Disclaimer. Everything shared on this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Neither the host nor the guests are providing legal, financial, accounting, mental health, investing, medical, or any other professional advice. If you are seeking professional help, please find it. See you next time.